Well, the gospel talking about the wild beasts and Satan and angels ministering to Jesus brings back a young man I dealt with many years ago. In his collegiate years, he contracted cancer and it was very difficult. He went through horrible chemotherapy in those days and nauseous, and it was just a terrible ordeal for him. And in the midst of that, he decided to try to handle that by writing a book for little children who had cancer and were going to have to undergo chemotherapy. And it was a beautifully illustrated book and presented in simple language to children. One of the things I remember about it was that he said, well, you've got in you these cells like are attacking you, but the chemo will give you angels to fight those bad cells. Well, there's a lot of reasons why the story seems important to me and illustrates the gospel. As we make the journey of life, you know, a lot of us at times feel very grateful for the angels that accompany us on the journey. Know that some of us remember our parents as giving us a good boost in life, or friends that we've had who've been with us when we needed them. I know that Friday night they had an induction of into the UT Varsity Hall of Fame athletes. In fact, one of ours, Bruce Gradkowski, was inducted, and I noticed that all of them had something positive to say about their families, the people who had helped them as they went along. They all had their own angels that were with them. And they expressed great gratitude for that. And I think we all would recognize those angels. We have people who come here who are disabled, and they have angels, they call them that, who bring them here to Mass. Well, on the other hand, we also know those wild beasts, the satanic forces that attack us as we're making the journey, those forces that try to impede our spiritual growth, to try to lead us into a faulty direction along the path. They get in our way of being good disciples. Times it feels as though they attack us. And other days we feel, well, we're threatened by an impending attack at any moment. And we could hear people talk about those wild beasts, those demons. Somebody would say, it's the illnesses I have. Very difficult to deal with. Some other people would say, well, it's the diminishments that come with getting older. Some people would identify their own demons. You know, that what attacks me is this need to gossip about people or be judgmental of others. There's a young man who describes his sexual drive precisely. It feels like a wild beast that can take me over, and it's so hard to deal with and handle that wild beast that is my own sexuality. And for other people, it would be a matter of naming other individuals who seem like they're obstacles. Sometimes spouses will say that seems like my spouse is not helpful in my spiritual life, but really causes me more problems. Sometimes friends feel betrayed by their people they thought were their friends. And some of those demons would be named in terms of cultural forces that are around us, things like consumerism and individualism and rampant militarism, all the isms that we name in our culture that strike us as the enemy, as the adversary, as the wild beasts that get in our way. Some people these days at the financial said, well, you know, what threatens me is the fact I'm not going to be able to find a job. Or what threatens me is my retirement savings aren't going to carry me over. And some people would even find that the obstacle is spiritual life and is the church itself. Sometimes a church that seems out of touch, a hierarchy, a clergy that don't understand what's going on or put excessive burdens on people. Yeah, we know the angels and we thank God for them, but we also know the wild beasts, and we need to deal with them. Well, the scripture readings today give us a fundamental perspective. Whenever we're struggling, the evil, we need a perspective on it. And there's a couple of good perspective points in these readings. The first reading from Genesis is about the flood, Noah, and so on. And then God says, I'll give you a sign that really I'm with you. I'm not just testing you. I'm not going to punish you. I'm with you. I love you. And the sign will be the rainbow. The rainbow will be a sign to all generations, all people, that I am a kind and merciful God, slow to anger and quick to forgiveness. Oh, so that's a God that's with us. Whenever we're fighting the beasts, there's a God on our side. And then we see Jesus himself undergoing his own temptations, and Mark's gospel just puts, he's out in the desert, not eating, and the wild beasts are out there. And Satan is out there tempting him. But Jesus is also ministered to by the angels. The angels are there to assist him in his battle against Satan. And so we need a perspective. It's a perspective of hope. Fundamentally says the angels are more powerful than the beasts. Those angels represent God's love for us and Christ's strength. No, I'm trying to think of Lent as maybe a time to train for fighting the beasts. Yeah, how about that? Lent as a training period. Time to get ourselves in shape and sharpen our attention and get ourselves geared up to take on what our own demons are. Seems very important to me to be able to name those demons. You know, what is it that afflicts me? What is it that stops my spiritual growth? And all of us, name the what's the primary beast that we have to deal with? Well, we heard some of them. Some would say, well, it's jealousy, it's anger, it's busyness, it's the sexual drive, it's the deep passions. Name the beast, and then think, how are we going to attack that? Maybe that fellow who thinks his finds his sexuality to be like the wild beast needs to be very careful about the internet and porn sites. Maybe he needs a strategy that when he's tempted that he has a way of getting his mind on something else, like remembering to thank his friends or call somebody in need or say thanks to his parents for all they've done for him. A strategy is needed. Now I'm thinking that as we think about the cultural things, the consumerism, it's hard to live in this culture without being touched by it. To think that what makes us worthwhile is what we have, what success we've accomplished, what kind of status we've achieved. It's just in the culture. Anybody who thinks they're not touched by that, it lives in an illusory world. You can't live in this culture without being touched by consumerism. And maybe there's a way in which we try to fight that beast as well. Maybe it'd be simplifying our lifestyle, maybe giving away things that we really don't need, of cutting back on how many new things we buy, and trying generally to see how we could live and without accumulating all kind of things, or at least thinking that's what's going to make us happy or makes us worthwhile. Now, I was thinking in a personal relationship, sometimes the people hurt us. The beast is in the other, the spouse, the family member, the friend. And I there's something that comes from some of the spiritual masters that when that happens, instead of feeling hurt and feeling personally attacked or getting defensive, one of the things to do is to ask oneself, well, why did she say that? Why is he attacking me like that? What it does is divert the energy away from being hurt to the inquiry of why is this going on? It's a great way of changing one's mindset. The beast, I won't let the beast attack me. I won't let the beast take me over. I'll turn it around and say, how could I be kind to that person who's attacking me? How could I better understand what makes them tick? It's a great device strategy, Lenten strategy, for moving beyond walking around feeling hurt all the time or upset that people aren't treating us right or whatever. And I'd like to go back to the young man who died not long after he finished that book. Oh, and I thought, what a great strategy he had. The strategy was to get beyond his own pain, beyond feeling like he was a victim, like, who are you? I'm a cancer victim. And what he did is reach out and figure out how he could help others, how he could help little kids, help them deal with chemotherapy. It was just a wonderful, beautiful Christian expression of how to handle the beast and turn it into angels. And so that would be my last suggestion about how we're going to deal with the beast is to get our minds off of ourselves and try to do good in the world. So one of the things we do during Lent, we say have almsgiving, have charity, get our minds on to other people, a great way to try to handle the beasts that attack us. Well, Jesus is the example. The beast went after him. Satan tried his best, but Jesus had angels ministering to him. And that same Christ calls forth the angels for us. We can count on those angels. And one thing we want to remember when we're under attack, is those angels, as Christ taught us, are always more powerful than any of the beasts that assail us.